Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to everyone, all the moms and grandmoms, including those of you online. Welcome to Prestonwood, and we're so glad that on this day, which we honor our moms, we are able to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we invite you to come on in, take a seat, and get ready for an incredible service, and you'll see why in just a moment. As we begin today, we are dedicating 87 babies at all campuses and venues, including a big group today. And we're so grateful for the vibrant preschool and children's ministry of Prestonwood. And Rhonda Britton is a minister to preschool children, has a great team, staff, and volunteers. Rhonda, we appreciate you so very, very much. And she's going to lead us now in this time of celebrating our children and dedicating our parents. Rhonda.
Thank you, Pastor. And good morning. We have a lot of miracles standing in the wings. And so I want to introduce our families and our children to you this morning. We're going to start with Jonathan and Kelly Adkins, and they are dedicating Jake Elias. Allison Anthony is dedicating Harper Lee. Lauren and Kim Book are dedicating Chapel Rose. Nathan and Caroline Brasher are dedicating Leo Wayne and Violet Sue. Matt and Lori Brown are dedicating Evangeline Alora Chandler. Maria Teresa Bullcalf is dedicating Michaela Mercedes. Justin and Emily Burgess are dedicating Tyler James. Brian and Hawa Curry are dedicating Ava Rose. Justin and Daryl Ellis are dedicating Austin Olivia and Benson Taylor. Craig and Kathleen Ellsbury are dedicating Lucas James. Wakar and Jasmine Gill are dedicating Xavier Wakar. Christy Gumwe is dedicating Baradidam Golden. Christopher and Stephanie Harris are dedicating Ezra Michael. Riley and Monica Keene are dedicating Riley Colola. Miles and Jamie Longbotham are dedicating Jacob Thomas and Carly Joe. And Michael and Samantha Markham are dedicating Ainsley Grace. Wesley and Courtney Mitchell are dedicating Brian Dean. Wade and Hannah Potts are dedicating Emma Marie. Kyle and Jessica Presnall are dedicating Jones Laughlin. David and Jacqueline Rivera are dedicating Hannah Melania. And Grant and Stephanie Thornhill are dedicating William Grantham. Can you celebrate all of our families? Thank you so much.
All right, I think I need to get way back here to see everyone. Great to celebrate with you. And this is a celebration of the life of your child. The Bible tells us that children are a gift from God, and we're grateful and you are blessed. We always remember to pray for those who are asking God to give them children, and that would be some of you, and we have ministries to encourage you, and we want you to know we see you and we love you as well. And but we're grateful and thankful for these that God has blessed with these children. And so celebrate life, celebrate your child. And it's not only a celebration of the child, your child, but it is a dedication of you as the mom, as the dad. It is a dedication. We do not baptize babies. In just a moment, we're going to have some believers' baptism, those who first trust in Christ, as the Bible tells us, and then follow Christ in baptism. So we don't we don't baptize infants who don't know Christ, but what we do is dedicate those parents and those families to Christ and give your children to the Lord. And as we dedicate you, let me just encourage you in a couple of areas. One is pray for your children. Be a prayer warrior. One of the most powerful, persuasive things you can do for your child, growing them up to know and love God, is to pray for them. And I assure you, we've got a lot of grandparents here. Grandparents, we never stop praying for our children, do we? We're always praying for our children. Now we get to pray for our grandchildren. But be a praying mom and a praying dad. Be on your knees. Pray over them. Pray with them. Pray for them. And be an example to them. That's the next thing. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And you ought to be able to say to your children, follow me, let me point you to Jesus. Follow me and my example. Lead your children to love the Lord. Lead your children to church and the fellowship of God's people. I'm so grateful for parents. When I was a child in arms and just a little boy, parents and grandparents who gave me a Christian heritage and home in the church. So set the example with your godly living and your dedication to Christ. Again, let this be a day of dedication for you. Make this more than a ceremony. Let this truly, in just a moment when we pray, a time where you say, Lord, my life is yours, and renew your heart and your home to Christ. One final thing, and that is to train them up and nurture them and nourish them in the things of God. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Help them to know Jesus soon in their lives and to follow him all the days of their lives. To grow up like Jesus grew up in the home of Mary, his mother, and his surrogate father, Joseph, who took that responsibility seriously. But the Bible says that Jesus grew up in favor with God and man. And in growing up with favor in God and man, in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and man. So there are your four goals: wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Let's pray together. We thank you, O Lord, for these parents, and we commit them to you now as they even dedicate their own hearts and homes to Christ. We thank you for each one, for each mom today and dad who stands here to say, Lord, we love you, we love our children, and together we will point our lives to Jesus. And so I pray that you would bless them, bless these children, watch over them, protect them. Let them be a light in the world. Let them come to know you as Savior and Lord very soon. And Lord, that they would live for you all the days of their lives. We remember that you said, let the little children come to me. And you welcome them into your arms. And we, as your body, the church today, we welcome these children. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, parents. Let's give them another round of applause. Today we have a very special introduction to make to you, and that is officially Hebron Road, birthed right here in our church, made up of Alan and Jared Monk and also Rick, the great Rick Briscoe. There you are, who leads our choir. And these three men joined together several months ago, and they've been singing together. They work with Michael Neal as executive producer, and they have formed this brand new record and group. Now, this isn't Southern gospel. I'd call this Texas gospel. That's what I'd call this. Good Texas gospel. But you're going to love hearing Hebron Road today. More about that in just a bit. Their CD is available in the bookstore. A great gift for mom or for anyone. Welcome, Hebron Road.
Good morning, church family. Let's all stand together. It's awesome to be with you this morning. If you know the song, sing it out. Let's sing to the one who gives us hope.
I've been held by the Savior, and I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus.
Amen, church family. As we continue to worship, we have four coming to be baptized this morning. This is Kyla Green. Kyla, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is my friend, Scott Merrifield. Scott, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Thomas Wang. Thomas, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you, Thomas. And finally, this is my friend William Roberts. William, God bless you, buddy. Are you following Christ in baptism, William, because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, it's my privilege to baptize you as my brother in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Come on, Prestonwood. That's something to celebrate, isn't it? New life in Christ. And the guys were singing earlier about hope. Today is a day of hope. If you're looking for hope, you came to the right place. Our hope is in Jesus. We are here for you, and we're really glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. Obviously, I also want to join Dr. Graham and say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my mom who's watching online from Central Florida. Bonnie, I love you. All the mothers in the room, we're so grateful for you. This is going to be a powerful day in God's house. Dr. Graham has an incredible word for us today. If you're our guest, we especially want to welcome you. Let us know that you're here. It's very simple. Just text the word CONNECT to 74788. And we've got ministers standing by. We would love to connect with you and answer any questions you might have about the ministries here at Prestonwood. We're just one big family. And it's just extraordinary to have you in the house today. Again, more than 50 nations joining us online all around the world. We're grateful to have you with us. I sense a very powerful presence to my right now, so I'm going to turn this over to him.
Thanks, Michael. That's an awesome job. When preachers would come to the seminary back in the day, we had a president by the name of Robert Naylor. I don't know why I thought about that, but when he got tired of the preaching or they were going too long, he would just come and stand behind them, just like that. So you didn't go too long. It was great. It was perfect. But I came up here for a reason, and that is to honor Michael Neal and to bring Leah up here with us, because today we are making a great announcement, and with the Neals, I would like Caleb Moore and Cassie and beautiful Ava Kate to come up here. Over the past several weeks, Michael and I have been in conversations about just a shift, a new season in his life. For the last 7+8 years, he has served as our lead worship pastor and, of course, Michael Neal, songwriter, musician, guitarist, singer, soloist, leader, just can do it all. Worship leader, of course, is something we love so much. And so we talked to Michael about the possibility, and he asked me about this, about just making a shift so he could focus more on what you're seeing this morning. Some of the executive producing, the songwriting. When we asked Michael to come here, because he is a renowned Christian songwriter, we wanted him to produce music for Prestonwood and the church, and we've done that with multiple albums and CDs, with the choir, brand new group, Hebron Road, and so on. So we want Michael to take more time to write, to produce, to pray, to minister to the church in this way and not have the day-to-day responsibility of the music ministry, which is a big assignment because we've got a big and wonderful worship staff. So who is going to lead the staff day-to-day? None other than the great Caleb Moore, who you have known on this platform as a worship leader. And that's beautiful Ava Kate and Cassie. Hey, Ava Kate. And the Neal's kids are growing up. Wyatt's still in upper middle school, actually, and they got two grown children. So Michael is going to now take the role of worship leader in residence, which means he's staying here, thank God, and at Prestonwood, and do all the writing and all that. He's going to help me in some leadership things, help us with productions like Gift of Christmas, and other kinds of things like we see at Easter, those beautiful things that we do at Easter, a lot of special things. But he's also going to be on the platform. You're not going to really notice that much difference. Michael is going to continue to lead and worship on this platform. But the leader of the band, if you will, is going to be Caleb. And Caleb, we love your spirit. We love your voice. We love your family. We love everything about you. And we are giving the keys to this this big bus. You know, we got to get a bus now for Hebron Road. We got to give the keys to the bus, the daily operation ministry of the church, plus worship leading, of course, and just ministry to our staff and development of our staff and all the things that comes with a big ministry like Preston with Worship. So I want us to pray and thank God for these. And would you just make it official and welcome these and this brand new opportunity for Caleb. And with thanksgiving to God for the continuing ministry of Michael Neal with us. Lord, how we thank you for these men, for Cassie, for Leah, for Ava Kay, the Neal children. Lord, we thank you for them, what they mean to us, how they've so often lifted us into your very presence because you inhabit the praises of your people. For song sung and worship led and ministry given and love shared, we thank you for these families. We thank you for our entire worship ministry and all that it accomplishes for the sake of the kingdom and the advancement of the gospel through this wonderful church. So, Lord, we give them to you. We dedicate this to you, and we thank you in advance for all the victories that are in the path ahead. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, there we go. Now, back to you guys. Again, right out of our church, you've seen them on this platform. That's Alan Monk. Raise your hand, Alan. And that is Jared Monk, his son. Alan is the CFO of Prestonwood. He's a great one, but he's also got a great voice, clearly. And then there's Rick Briscoe, who started with us in student ministry choirs and is with us, continues to lead our great choir. And we love Rick and so thankful for him. So they named themselves Hebron Road. Hebron Road is their name, named after the road that runs right in front of it. You may know it as Park, but right here it's actually Hebron Road, which is a Bible name, which means face-to-face to God, face-to-face with God. Isn't it great that our church is on a road named face-to-face with God? So here they are. I suggested they name themselves after the monks, the Monkees, and they're about an old 60s group already had that. So I give you, once again, Hebron Road.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. Oh, you say I am yours.
taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. Oh, Jesus. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Around me before. go through the voice of His voice to me is calling. Oh, His voice to me is calling. Oh, His voice. Version of In the Garden. Yeah, most of us here in this room remember the way it was originally written. A few months ago, Michael Neal, in a staff meeting, he had his guitar and he said, "Hey, I got an idea. Now be honest, tell me if you think this is going to be good or not." He started playing and I said, "Michael, my goodness, that is the old hymn with a fresh expression." You know, the song In the Garden really is all about walking in the presence of Jesus. And you think about it, we all have moments, special moments in our life that are seared into our hearts and to our memory. In fact, how many of you remember, let's just go back a second, how many of you remember when you gave your heart and life to Jesus? When you recognized that you couldn't trust in yourself and all the good works that we try to accomplish to earn the love of God, when you first discovered that it's all about Him, right? I remember that moment in my life. I think about the beautiful moments that we've experienced in this worship center together as a church family. Personally, I remember when our daughter Bethany walked down this aisle and stood here at this altar, marrying her husband and starting a life together. We all have moments, special moments in our life. How about those moments this morning with the children, the moms and the dads, dedicating their lives afresh and anew to the Lord? Well, there's a place in Scripture, 1 Corinthians, in fact, it talks about a special moment that those of us that know Jesus will experience. The Scripture says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Jesus will open the eastern sky and return to this earth for His bride, taking us home to live for all eternity with Jesus in a moment. In a moment, everyone falls silent to hear the mighty trumpet split the eastern sky. Just imagine the King of all creation riding through the heavens, returning for His bride. Gloria, Gloria, hear the sound of heaven ring. Gloria, Gloria, all the earth will bow and sing. All the broken, they're no longer broken, as they dance before You, a radiant debut. And the Lion walks beside the Lamb, and all is well again. He's
Hebron Road for singing us all the way to heaven today. Looking forward to that moment when we see Christ face to face and we will be raptured into his presence, risen to be with him forever and ever. We'll be united, reunited with our loved ones. Some of you, like me, have parents in heaven. My mother is in heaven. I really appreciated Michael giving a shout out to Bonnie down in Florida, which is almost heaven, they say. But my mother is in heaven, so shout out to Imogen today, and I'm so grateful for my mother and the heritage of faith in our family. But we do believe that Jesus is coming and coming soon. We live with anticipation and expectation of that glorious experience, that moment. And I'm really glad Michael Neal wrote that song. That's a Michael Neal song, and I'm glad it made the cut on the Hebron Road album, because it's such a great song and the great truth that in a moment, just like that, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be with Jesus. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans. This is our Essential Gospel series, and we're rounding third and coming home on this great book, the Essential Gospel. And when we come to the 16th chapter of Romans, you might be tempted to skip it or skim it. You might even be wondering how we would get a message on Mother's Day from a list of names, many of them hard to pronounce, as you will see in just a moment. Some great saints of yesteryear named and others unnamed, some noticed and many unnoticed. But what you have here in the 16th chapter of Romans is the close and the final greetings of the great Apostle Paul, who is the author, the human author of the book of Romans. Thus far, Paul, writing most likely from Corinth, has given us this great truth of the gospel of Christ. And Romans is filled with theology and the deep things of God, as well as the simple gospel of Christ. And we've been on this Roman roads for some time now. And as we near the end, Paul takes time not only to show us his head in these great truths of the Bible, but now to show us his heart. At times we may think of the Apostle Paul as the hard-charging evangelist, the theologue, the student, the scholar. But today, We take another look at this great man, the missionary Paul, and his great love for people. You know, the church life, really, in and of itself, rises on relationships. Relationships. Someone said that life is relationships, the rest is detail. Well, Paul talks about relationships, and he gives us some of the detail in this passage of the early days of the church, the embryonic days of the church, just after the church is born in the very first century, and we see the pattern and the practice of the New Testament church. This is incredible insight that we are giving as to how the church functioned in their faith and the practice, and how they were able to turn the world upside down. Because one of the greatest evidences of the Christian faith is the fact that a small band of believers, beginning with the disciples of Jesus, founded on Christ himself, his death, his burial, and resurrection, began to preach this message in Jerusalem and then ultimately to the ends of the earth. The fact that Paul, the missionary, and a small band of believers, both men and women, were able to take on the Greek and Roman world with the gospel of Christ and the religious world and change the world. And they did it by preaching the gospel and by establishing churches, planting churches all across the world. So Paul is writing to Christians at Rome and the church at Rome in this case. And before he says goodbye, he greets various members of the congregation. And he talks about people in the church. He would never have met most of these. A few of these he knew on his missionary journeys, like Priscilla and Aquila, that courageous Christian couple that we're about to meet in this passage. And he mentions 33 names. And beyond the 33 names mentioned, there are households, so people represented that are not named. And among the names of those listed in the church and remembered and memorialized in the Word of God are seven women who in particular had a great impact upon the Apostle Paul himself and upon the church in that generation and generations to come. And so the title of this message is The Influence of Godly Women, because I'm going to point out in the greetings of Paul some of these women who changed the world. God has used devoted women to bless and build the church from generation to generation. And my prayer today on this Mother's Day is that every woman within the sound of my voice would discover your gifts in Christ, your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ, and what you have been given in Christ, and bless the world and build the church through the work and by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is your identity in Christ? You are God's daughter, and you are our sister in Jesus, and you are a servant of Christ. Therefore, on this Mother's Day, I want us to focus not on your mothering, but on your ministry. What God has called each one of us to do, both men and women. For Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship," God's poem, God's masterpiece, "created in Jesus Christ unto good works that he has prepared for us before the world began." So what has happened in Christ for you, for each of us who know him, and I speak specifically to the women in this room and watching on a screen somewhere, that first God works for you. That's what he did when he died for you and rose again and gave you salvation and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. God works for you, and then God works in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because God works for you and God works in you, he now works through you to make a difference in the world, to change lives and legacy in the name of Jesus. This passage actually ends, this is all by way of introduction, this passage actually ends with the words, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I started to entitle this message, XOXOXO with a heart. Maybe you've received a text from your mother or someone who loves you. XOXOXO. And this is Paul's holy kiss. This is Paul's heart for the church, and it therefore should be ours as well. A holy kiss is a mark. It was a cultural practice of the time, of course. Still practiced some in the world in Orthodox Christian churches in the Middle East and various places. But in that day, as in this day in most cases, it is a mark of love and innocent affection. It's different than a hug. Better than a handshake. If you think a hug and a kiss are the same, just ask your teenager at home if it's the same. They'll tell you it's not the same. No, it's more than a hug. It's more than a handshake. It is a holy kiss. And perhaps you've seen this practice where a man would kiss another man on the cheek, on the side of the beard, then the other side. It was actually a part of the liturgy of the early church, the practice of the church in the first several centuries. And as I said, in some cases, in some places still today, that in the midst of the service, they would stand and they would greet one another with a holy kiss, the men to the men and the women to the women. It was a sign of peace. I don't know how well that would go over in COVID seasons, but it certainly was a practice. Augustine, the great theologue, said, they demonstrated, speaking of the early Christians, an inward peace by their outward kiss. It's a sign of peace, of brotherhood and sisterhood, because we are family. I dare say when your family comes in the room, especially if you haven't seen them in a while, there's hugs and kisses. One of the few things I remember about my paternal grandmother, I never knew my mother's mother, but up until the first 5 or 6 years of my life, I knew my dad's mother. And what I do remember, two things I remember about my dad's mother. She passed away when I was 5 or 6, so very few memories about her. But I remember on the first hand that it was the only time I saw my father cry or weep was at her funeral. I'm sure he wept many other times. I just didn't see it. But I remember looking up at my father, so strong and so powerful. You know, you look up to your dad, and I saw these big tears coming down his face at the death of his dear mother, my grandmother. The other thing that I remember about her were her sloppy kisses. Seriously. And what a memory to have of your grandmother. But every time she would see me, she would kiss me just profusely and sloppily. And, you know, I'm wiping things off my face, but I remember her kisses. There's so many lonely people in the world, people who walk into church wondering if anybody cares, if anyone loves them in the church. If not in the church, where else could they find real affection, real love? So that was the church. Again, insight into Team Jesus of the first century. This is the Jesus revolution in the making, and is filled with love and devotion. Why? We are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the family of God, and we love one another in unity and with affection. Peter himself, the big fisherman, you know, big tough guy, Simon Peter, he spoke of this holy kiss, this affectionate, peaceful kiss in 1 Peter 5:14. He called it the kiss of love. That's Simon Peter, the kiss of love. Don't be afraid to show your love and your affection to people. I'm not necessarily bringing back the holy kiss today, but I am bringing back and hope to remind you of the importance of loving people and not just saying it, but showing it. Showing it so that people know it and that they feel it. So that said, let's take a whack at Paul's text messages here. beginning in the first verse of Romans 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Chenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca, or as Luke would call her, Priscilla, who's mentioned 6 times in the New Testament, along with her husband Aquila, whom Paul says, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Priscilla, along with Phoebe, and then Aquila. Greet also in the church in their house, or greet also the church in their house. There's insight as to how the church operated in the first century. There were no church buildings until the second or third century. So Christian churches met in homes. They preached in the streets. They went everywhere with the gospel. Jewish Christians worshiped in synagogues, sharing that Jesus is the Messiah, until they were thrown out. But this was a house church movement, church plants. And one of the ministries of Prestonwood that we appreciate so very much is the church planting network, the Prestonwood Network. Here in just 2 weeks, I'll have a number of church planters along with other pastors with me just to talk about life and ministry. Is something we gladly do as a church. And so the church movement is on. It's planting and establishing local colonies of heaven. Churches, ecclesia, the gathered ones, Christians in the church. So greet also the church in their house. The house of who? The house of Priscilla and Aquila. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Christ in Asia. Probably Paul's first convert in Asia. And then greet Mary, another woman, who has worked hard for you. Ergo means working to the point of exhaustion. Women so often work so hard for the cause of Christ and his church. The founder of the Salvation Army once said, talking about his force for the gospel, he said that the women do the work of 10 men. He said, the best men I have are women. Women who do the work. And I found it to be true in the church through the generation how hard so many women give themselves to the work of the ministry and the mission of Christ. So that's Mary, one of many Marys in the New Testament. And then greet Andronicus and Junia. Junia may be a female name. We don't know. It's one of those names that could be either. It could, you know, like Pat. Junia. So this could be brothers, Andronicus and Junia, brothers. Or it could be a couple. But Paul says, my kinsmen. In other words, they were related, Jewish believers related to Paul and my fellow prisoners. They were in prison with Paul. They are also well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. So here they are. Before Paul came to Christ, while he was still a murderer, before he became a missionary, he was a prosecutor of the church, before he became a preacher of the gospel, these two people came to Christ, kinsmen, his own flesh, and perhaps influenced the Apostle Paul in some way. We don't know, but there they are. And then greet Ampliatitus, or Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord, and greet, here's a good one, Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys, or Stachys. The word Urbana, you can hear the word urbane in there, urban. So most likely Urbanus, they often took their names from their residency. He was a city fellow. And Stachys, his name means cob, like corn on the cob. This guy is Corn Pone. He's a redneck. So you got an urbane fellow here, and you got a redneck. That's the church, isn't it? Males and females, rich and poor, educated, uneducated, city folks and country folks, Gentiles and Jews, but one in Christ. And greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. What a great statement. Tried and true in Christ. That's all we know about him. But what a great sentence. Greet him. He's tried and true in Christ, approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. And then greet my kinsman Herodian. And greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. And greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Two girls, twin girls. Their names mean delicate and dainty. I haven't heard any, so maybe you should try this for the next twins you may have. Tryphaneus or Tryphania and Tryphosa. Fanny and Fosa. I don't know. But greet the beloved. So there's two more women. Greet the beloved Persis, who is a Persian woman, who also has worked hard in the Lord. Kind of past tense there. Maybe she was an older woman who had worked all those years for the Lord. A Persian, Iranian woman. And then greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also, watch this, his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. We don't know the mother of the Apostle Paul. He doesn't talk about her in the scriptures. His mother, his physical mother, never mentioned. But Paul mentions this woman, the mother of Rufus, who is a mother in the church and a mother to me as well. There are church fathers and there are church mothers. And the great apostle said, this woman has mothered me in some way, nurturing him and encouraging him, like so many of our mothers have done through the years to encourage us, mentoring even the Apostle Paul. And then he mentions, I'm not even going to give a swing at these in verse 24 or 14. I know them, but again, hard to pronounce. We don't know who they are, but they were brothers with Paul. And greet Philologus and Julia, another woman, and Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and the churches greet you. All the churches greet these Christians at Rome. Phoebe is at the top of the list. So let me take just a few moments, if you will stay with me, to talk about her. It was almost like, Phoebe, you go first. Ladies first. And he's writing this, he remembers Phoebe, whose name means radiant, bright, beautiful, pure. Phoebe. And it says of Phoebe, look at it again, what it says to us about this woman. It says that she is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, which is in Corinth, near Corinth, so Greece. She's Grecian. And probably a convert of the Apostle Paul. That you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. Here we see a woman worthy of all the saints, men and women. And help her in whatever she may need from you. She is on some kind of a business trip to Rome. And you know what she carried with her to do her transactions in Rome. Paul is endorsing her, said whatever you can do to help her, and the word here is transaction. Whatever in her transactions she needs, you do it. How would you like the Apostle Paul on your resume of endorsers? She had it. And he said of her that she is a servant of the church. First, a sister. Not his physical sister, but a sister in the Lord. Again, we are a family. We're brothers. We're sisters. In some ways, we are closer in Christ to our spiritual family than our own physical family if some of these are outside of Christ. There was a point, a place in her life when she responded to the gospel. When she said yes to Jesus Christ. She became a liberated woman. She didn't find it in the feminist movement. She found it in faith in Jesus Christ. She became a sister in Christ. And then a servant of the church, diakonos, same word from which we get our word deacon. But here the focus is not on the position of deacon, but the practice of Phoebe and her service to the Lord. She is a servant of the Lord, and she is a steward because not only a sister and a servant, but she is a steward among the saints, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. That's the word sukara. In other words, she was a helper of the Apostle Paul. The word is patron. You know what a patron is. A patron is someone who gives to support. In the arts, you give to support the arts, and so on. She was a patron of Paul and of others who preached the gospel. In other words, she was invested. Apparently, she was a woman of means. She had money. She was a business person. And so she is on her way to Rome to transact business. And Paul reminds them, she is a patron of me and of many for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given women innately, I believe, certainly in Christ, a generosity of spirit and compassion for Christ and the world and the gospel. How many times over the years have we men been encouraged, not patronized, but blessed and buoyed by the prayers of godly women, our wives, our mothers, our sisters? Yes, the church needs strong and godly men, but the church also needs strong and godly women. And women, let me say to you, you're not the JV of the church. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a male movement. It's not a female movement. It's a Jesus movement. And together, husbands and wives like Priscilla and Aquila, single women, we don't know if Phoebe was married or not. It's not mentioned. She may have been a single woman, a benefactor. She was a blessing. She gave herself to the work of Christ and the church. And she is commended for it, and she is remembered for it. And we're always, always to commend and celebrate and elevate women. Jesus did. The world came when Jesus walked on it. In a world in which women were treated like property, the first century world, put out and put aside. Baby girls in the first several centuries of the AD era were thrown away like trash, literally. In the world of Jesus, a cruel world. Pharisees, the strict order of the Jewish people, some of these guys would pray every day, God, I thank you that I'm not a woman. That was the world of Jesus. But when Jesus came, he elevated women. He blessed women. He included them in his cast of champions. They walked with him alongside apostles. They were not apostles, but they walked with the apostles. And the Gospel of Luke tells us about it. You can read about it when you get home in the 8th chapter of Luke, when Luke mentions these women that were with Jesus and the apostles, and the women supported the work of Christ and the apostles with their presence and with their possessions. But Little girls were often thrown away or led into prostitution or criminalized in some way. You say, what a terrible world. Yes, and it's still happening in many ways. We have a chance to end the horror of Roe v. Wade, which is abortion on demand for the last 50 years. Let me remind you what this means, the opinion that was leaked this week, probably to put pressure on the judges, pray that the judges will stand firm and true on their convictions and not be bullied by these leftists and extremists. But the important decision of protecting life is on and in the hands of these judges right now. And remember what happens if Roe v. Wade is turned over. Then it goes back to the states where it belongs, where the people can make the decision, where the people can vote. I mean, abortion is not over when Roe v. Wade is over. You understand that. You know that, right? So we're just beginning to fight because it'll go back to the states. And currently in the United States, we have some of the most extreme abortion laws in the world, ranking right up there with China and North Korea. Did you know there are 7 states in America, the U.S., that have 0 limits on abortion? Meaning that you can have an abortion up until the time of birth. In Oregon, Alaska, Colorado, New Mexico, Vermont, New Hampshire, and New York. And if Roe v. Wade is overturned, our work will just be getting started. And more than ever, our voice will need to be heard. And it will be crucial for us to fight for life in our states, one state at a time, one life at a time. And at the same time, providing care and love and nurture to moms and their babies and our communities. That's what we do with our pregnancy centers. We save babies, but we also give hope to moms who often come in without much hope. And there's a hope and a future in Christ. But we live in a culture of death. You see those signs that are being held up now, my body, my choice. No, not your body, your choice, your body, your baby. We were up at the National March. We were up at the National March. I brought a couple of photos just as a reminder, as a prayer. We marched in Washington, D.C. several years ago, and there's a group from our pregnancy center and members of our church, and we're carrying other signs, love life. And I guess that's the only one we had. But it's a beautiful reminder that we are in this battle together. And let me remind you of the babies that are taken from their mother's womb. At least half of them are girl babies. So if you go back, way, way back to this time when they're trashing girl babies, throwing them away, literally, it's a picture of taking a piece of trash and throwing it away. So we've been throwing away babies, both boys and girls, to the degree of 63 million since 1972. God help us. So mothers, fight for life. Fight for life. There is a mother that's mentioned here at the close. The mother that was the mother to Paul. Who is this mother who had a son by the name of Rufus? Rufus, what a name. Who was Rufus, and who was this mother who mothered Paul and mentored others? Who is this woman? One day, a young man was carrying a cross to a place called Calvary. And already beaten to within an inch of his life, gasping for air, he collapses. The weight of the world on his shoulders, he is crushed beneath the cross. He falls. Crowned with thorns, he bleeds. And even some cruel Roman soldier had a bit of compassion and conscripted a man out of the crowd to come and carry the cross of Jesus. His name was Simon, Simon of Cyrene. He picked up the cross of Jesus and he carried it to the place called Calvary. And there Jesus was nailed and died for the sins of the world, yours and mine. Rose again on the third day, so we know the end of the story, but what a story. And what a man, this man, Simon. And the Gospels tell us that Simon had two sons. One whose name was Alexander, and another whose name was Rufus, who had a mother named Mary, who was the wife of the man who carried the cross of Jesus. She's in this church. And she is loving Paul and loving people and telling them the story of what Jesus did for all of us when he carried the cross to Calvary. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed? I want to give you an invitation to respond. You know, mothers can do so much and women can do so much in the life of the church. We're going to talk about this more next week, actually. But right now, I just want to stop and give an invitation. Some of you, your mothers have been praying for you. And you can resist her faith and run from her faith, but you can't run from her prayers, can you? So there's some prodigals here, some people here, maybe even in heaven. Your mom prayed for her, you on earth, but now her prayers are coming home to your heart, and today's the day of your salvation. Today's the day that she prayed for, that you would trust in Christ as your Savior. Some of you have wives, mothers that are praying for you. Your wife has been steadfastly living for Jesus and you hadn't understood it. And perhaps you've even been critical and cold. But your wife's love for Christ and her love for you is bringing you to Jesus. I can't tell you how many men I've known through the years that their woman, their wife, brought them to Jesus. So why don't you come today, men, women, boys, and girls. Online, just text in 74788, the word Jesus. We're standing by to encourage you in your faith. You can make that decision today, trusting in Christ. And right here in this room, I'm going to ask that you come forward. Our ministers are going to be here at the front, upstairs in the balcony. And if you will give your life to follow Jesus, then make that decision today. He will change your life and change your legacy. Your name's not going to show up in the Bible, but I pray it shows up in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible tells us that there is a book of life, the Lamb's Book of Life. It's in heaven. The question is your name in that book? Is your name written down in glory in heaven? Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Do you know this? You can know it today. There are others, you're a believer, but you're kind of floating spiritually in the church. Remember what we read here, all these people mentioned, they were in the church, all the churches greet you. The Jesus movement is a church movement. So I'm going to invite you to come and join this church, join Team Jesus in changing lives and legacies now and forever. You make the decision today and come forward and make that your commitment to Christ on this Mother's Day in 2022.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.